He was considered the most important patient in the study of the human brain, known worldwide only by his initials, HM. But now, in death, we learn his name. He was Henry Gustav Mollison. He died at a nursing home on Tuesday at the age of 82, after living for most of his life in a state of permanent amnesia. Over 55 years, Mr. Mollison was the subject of intense scientific study, and he's credited with helping scientists unlock secrets of how we form memories. When he was 27, Mr. Mollison underwent brain surgery to cure a seizure disorder, and that surgery left him unable to form new memories of his own. Here's a recording of him being questioned by one of the neuroscientists who studied him, Dr. Suzanne Corkin.
Do you know what you did yesterday?
No, I don't.
How about this morning?
I don't even remember that.
Can you tell me what you had for lunch today?
I don't know, to tell you the truth.
Dr. Corkin is a neuroscientist at MIT. She worked closely with Henry Mollison over more than 40 years and is writing a book about him. She explained to us what went wrong with HM's experimental surgery back in 1953.
Well, the surgery did achieve the intended result in the sense that it decreased greatly the number of seizures he had. Unfortunately, there was also a tragedy that accompanied the operation, and that is that he lost his ability to lay down new long-term memories.
Mm-hmm. And what would be an example of something that he just simply couldn't remember?
Well, he didn't remember who I was. I met him in 1962. I saw him frequently over the ensuing years, and he didn't know who I was. But when I went into his room, when I greeted him, I would say, "Have we ever met before?" And he would say, "Yes, we have." And I would say, "Where?" And he would say, "In high school." So whenever I had an interaction with him, he didn't greet me as a stranger. He wasn't afraid of me. He was someone that he thought he knew from high school.
When the first studies were published on Mr. Mollison back in the 60s, what was so revolutionary? What was learned that was new about the brain?
Well, there were several things. The first one was that before HM, people didn't understand that memory could be localized to one region of the brain. People thought, well, you know, when you remember, you use your whole brain. And in a sense, that's true. But nobody understood that if you damaged this discrete area in the middle of the temporal lobes, that people could not lay down any new long-term memory traces. So that was one thing, giving memory an address in the brain. Another thing was that people used to think, and some people actually still hold this view, that short-term memory and long-term memory were on a continuum. And all of your information started out in a short-term store, and with the passage of time and consolidation, all this information glided into long-term memory in the same system. Because of HM, we now understand that short-term memory and long-term memory are separable processes. And the way we know this is because Henry's short-term memory was preserved. You could read him 5 digits, and he would say them back to you. You could say, you know, "My name is Suzanne Corkin," and he could say that back. His immediate memory was preserved, but only for about 20 or 30 seconds. The duration of short-term memory is roughly 20 to 30 seconds. Anything beyond that, unless he consciously rehearsed it, he would not be able to retain.
When was the last time you saw him?
I saw him in August at his nursing home. He was almost mute. He had to be spoon-fed. But he, you know, I think that he sort of recognized me. Not, of course, really, but I said, "Remember me from high school," and he sort of perked up. He turned his head toward me when I spoke to him, and we had a little bit of contact.
Well, Dr. Corkin, thanks very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
It's neuroscientist Suzanne Corkin talking about Henry Gustav Mollison, known as HM. He died on Tuesday. Dr. Corkin told us Mollison hoped the research he took part in would help other people. She said he and his court-appointed guardian consented to the studies, and they also agreed to donate his brain for future study.